checking in with Quincy Swoozy Vice Chair Anthony Andronico for an update on how things are going in the COVID era. Anthony, nice to see you.
It's good to see you again, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Sure, pleasure. We're recording this on Friday, October 16th, and one benefit I see is remote learning. There's a water main break in Quincy, so all the kids are home learning.
Yeah, there is. The superintendent gave us a call this morning on the school committee just to let us know what was going on. And, I have full faith in our public buildings team that they'll get that resolved and we'll be back in for Monday. But, never a dull moment, it seems, these days.
That's so true. Because just yesterday started 4 through 12 hybrid, right?
That's right. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited, actually, to have, students back in the classroom, in grades 4 through 12. We took a phased-in approach to rolling out our hybrid, one that was commended by Governor Baker and the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education there for that plan to get students back in the classroom. So I'm very excited to see kids back in. And so far, feedback has been mixed. I think there's never going to be a smooth transition. And obviously we have some scheduling challenges, but I have full confidence that that's going to be worked out in the next few days. And, hopefully in, not too distant future, we can get even more kids back in the classroom. I understand a lot of folks have concerns about going in, but at least so far what we've seen from the numbers that have been given to us by Health Commissioner Ruth Jones, anytime QPS has had a COVID-19 case, those that are within close contact have been told to go home, and it doesn't appear as though we've had any spread within our schools. In fact, we've only had one case in the last 2 weeks of a staff member, so that's really good news for Quincy.
Have you talked at all about what might happen if Quincy goes into the red category?
Yeah, we went over that a little bit with Health Commissioner Jones. I think one of the difficult things about this is, one, we're going through it for the first time. But two is it all depends. So if Quincy goes in the red, but it's clear that is not from, from within our schools, or it's clear that the protocols we have in place are absolutely working and it's safe to go in the schools, and let's say someone does have a case and then we have high confidence that it won't spread from there. It's different territory. I think it unfortunately all depends. I'd love to give a very easy answer. But as we've said from the very, very beginning, we're going to listen to our local and state public health officials. They're the ones that know best. I'm a school crew member. My background is not, I don't have a medical degree. So we're going to continue to listen to them and listen very closely to their recommendations.
And the option of fully remote learning still exists?
Yeah, so remote learning, whatever we decide for the back-to-school plan, getting more kids in the classroom, remote is always going to be an option for our students and their families. And, juggling two different sides, in person and then remote teaching, has presented some challenges, regarding staffing and making sure that schedules fit just right. So it's not easy, but we're still trying to tinker with that. Administrators are, principals are, make sure that works. In general, the remote learning seems to be going a lot better than in the spring.
Yeah. So any idea about how many students are opting hybrid as opposed to fully remote?
Yeah, we got those numbers at our last meeting. About half of students have selected remote. The other half have done hybrid or the full in-person if they categorize as high-need students per phase one. So it's a mix. We did see from 2 weeks ago to this past Wednesday, we had a little bit of a dip in those that wanted to go back in hybrid. My guess is difficulties presented by the schedule and numbers in general in Massachusetts ticking up a little bit. We've got a lot of communities right around us that are in the red. Quincy's still in the yellow, which is good news. But we're about at 50-50 at the moment.
What does an actual, you know, hybrid classroom look like, Anthony? How many kids are in there? How are they seated? Where's the teacher seated? You know, could you give us a little picture of that?
Yeah. So in general, you know, the teacher will be right at the front of the classroom by where the board typically is. And that's generally where they'll stay. The regulations from the state, you're not allowed to have more than 12 people within the classroom at one time. All the desks are spaced 6 feet apart. Everyone has to wear a mask. And, you know, after you get up and leave, you wipe down the desk in your chair to make sure that, you know, whoever's coming in after you, in particular at the high school level, that area is disinfected as well. So that's generally what it looks like. They're very small class sizes. You know, they're generally around 7 or 8 students, because if you got 2 cohorts and you're already down to 50%, you know, you're talking about 25% of a classroom. They're very small class sizes right now, which is good news, I think, for right now. So that's generally what a classroom looks like. And we actually talked with Commissioner Jones our head nurses there, just about Rita Bailey, about what do you do when you have a confirmed case? And generally, if you are defined as a close contact to someone that, you know, has coronavirus, then you'll be asked to quarantine or isolate, depending on the situation. So a close contact is defined as someone who is within 6 feet of a positive COVID individual for 15 minutes or more, with or without a mask. So if you have a mask or you don't have a mask, if you're within those 6 feet for more than 15 minutes, you're a close contact. So as of right now, you know, we haven't had to have a lot of folks be defined as a close contact, which again is recommended by state and local officials about what to do. So that's the good news. And I think it also lends a little light. I did ask this at the meeting, you know, how do we get more kids in the classroom? Is 3 feet okay? I remember at the beginning when we were talking about in-person plans, that was the state guideline. If you want to do full in-person, 3 feet. And essentially from there, the idea is if you do that, then all of those students around a positive individual, we're talking 6 people at that point, would have to quarantine, and it would potentially shut down the entire class. So there's not an easy answer to any of this, but we'll continue to monitor it as we move forward.
Yeah, I know you're familiar with, we've seen some of the institutes of higher education required testing. Is that something that's been talked about in the Quincy public schools?
Yeah, I know the state has recently made more rapid tests available if, you know, if your district would like to pursue that. We're in the initial discussions of that at the moment. I would expect that we bring that up and talk more in depth at our next meeting about it. But one of the things that I found to be interesting that Ruth Jones has brought up over the last few weeks is the reliability of rapid tests, the antigen tests, and that they're not as reliable as a PCR test that can usually take a day or two. In addition, you know, she's mentioned that, say things like taking, you know, your temperature at the beginning of the day, again, not as reliable as actually doing a test. So, you know, it's never easy, but it's one of the things that we're at the very least looking into, because, you know, I think you have to look into everything when it comes to getting kids back to school.
Yeah. Technology-wise, does everybody have a computer that needs one to do remote learning and teaching?
Yeah, we're just about there. You know, I know we made an investment of over $2 million from the Federal CARES Act. You know, Mayor Koch was generous enough to allocate that funding at the behest of the school committee. And, you know, we were able to get laptops for all of our teachers to administer, you know, the remote learning from, whether it be home or within the classroom. And we purchased enough Chromebooks, I believe it was 7,500 Chromebooks, So we could have a one-to-one ratio of Chromebooks for students in grades 5 through 12. You know, with the pandemic and a national shortage of the materials needed to make those Chromebooks, we're a little behind on receiving them. You know, we did submit the order right away. I want to say in late April after we got the funding. We received 2,500 Chromebooks a few weeks ago now, and we already had a few in stock. I want to say 1,100 or 1,200 within QPS. So at this moment in time, we've loaned out 3,500 Chromebooks to students that had indicated at the beginning that they needed a Chromebook or did not have access to a computer. So we're hopeful that at this point in time, every student that that needs a Chromebook and access to the internet has it. If you don't and you're at home and you know someone that doesn't, I'd strongly suggest reaching out to the main office and the superintendent's office and you know, they can help connect you with those resources. We want to make sure everyone is set. But I am very much looking forward to having the rest of our order in so that everybody can have, in grades 5 through 12, can have their Chromebook.
Yeah. Has access to the internet been an issue at all for some students?
Yeah, it has been. You know, you're not able to reach everyone. Everyone's home situation is a little bit different. And one of the things that Quincy had done, just trying to think outside the box a little bit, is have students go to the computer labs at each of the high schools, respectively. And, you know, so we're clear, the individuals, rather the students that are utilizing that as a resource, are the ones that had indicated on the survey in the beginning that they did not have access to this technology. So it's not students that have it at home. It's those that are genuinely in need, you know, that they just need a little extra help getting those resources.
Okay. And those students would be comfortable with the hybrid learning model, I'm assuming, because they're kind of in the building.
Yeah. So they're in the building. It's a little wonky. So they're in the building, but at that point, they are remote students.
Okay.
So even though they're essentially, it's, you know, you're utilizing the computer lab, there's a proctor there to make sure that, you know, everyone's following the protocols, and they're doing what they need to be in class and be present. So okay. I know it's a little different. I understand it make a ton of sense to be in the school, but you're a remote student. I just think that goes to show you how difficult and how many challenges there really are when trying to get everyone back to school.
Yeah. How's the transportation situation working out? I know you had to push that out an extra half mile because of the spacing requirements on the buses.
Right. For the most part, it seems to be okay. You know, we contacted the families, within, you know, a day or two after passing that policy. And, you know, for the most part, folks were very understanding and, you know, we're appreciative of their understanding. And for the families that, you know, did continue to have a need, I know as we always do, you know, UPS worked with those families to make sure that they were taken care of and able to go to school if that's what they wanted to do, or help set up a plan. So for the most part, that seems to be going well. Again, the transportation guidelines, I believe it's 40% capacity. Windows have to be open. Everyone has to be 6 feet apart, and you have to wear a mask the whole time. So it certainly looks different. But I think for the most part we're okay in that regard.
Yeah. So you know, if all things stay as they are right now, Anthony, how long does this particular model last?
Yeah, that's what we were trying to figure out at least briefly at the last meeting. In particular, I had asked, you know, when is it okay to go from 6 feet to 3 feet? So that's part of it. You know, another part is going to be, let's say we do that. And we can get more students in. Will the families that are in hybrid right now at the moment, is that something they're still going to want? You know, would they want to go from the 6 foot distance to the 3 foot distance? And then you could end up with a situation where only 25% of your kids want to do in person and 75% now want to do remote. And if the whole goal is to get more kids in the classroom, then you're going backwards. So it's a little bit tricky. You know, I'll continue to listen to Ruth Jones and our state guidelines. But we want kids back in the classroom. You know, they learn better in class. That's very clear. You know, remote learning can be very difficult. I think, as you know, Zoom fatigue is very real after you have a Zoom meeting over and over and over again all day for 5 days a week. That's a lot. It's very tough. And it's really tough for our little kids too, and our high school kids as well. But we're trying to get more kids back in the class, and we'll continue to listen to public health officials on how we can best do that.
Yeah. Do you anticipate maybe another round of surveys, you know, before any changes are made?
Yeah, I would suggest so. You know, personally, I always prefer getting feedback from the public before you make a decision like this. You know, it's good to know where families feel, how families feel and where they stand. And that makes, you know, for better public policy just in general. So, you know, I'd strongly suggest that we, you know, have another round of surveys. I know our families are getting a little tired of all the surveys, but we appreciate it because we do need your responses to make a good decision on the school committee there. And we'll see what we get back, and then we can go from there.
All right. Anything else we should touch on right now? Do you think anything?
I don't think right now. It's always good to see you, Joe, and I'll see you in another 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was my next question. Is it still sticking to the 2 week schedule?
Yes, another 2 weeks. Next meeting is on Wednesday, October 28th for those folks at home. And just as a reminder, if anyone needs to reach me, you know, I can be reached by email at anthonyandronico@quincypublicschools.com. And if you're curious about anything that's going on in QPS, you know, you can always log on to the website, quincypublicschools.com.
Great. Thanks so much, Anthony. Good to see you.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.